Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. On this episode of Dad Talks, I interview Drew Burkamper. Drew Burkamper is a great friend of mine and is continuing the theme of this gentle giant. Because Drew is a massive man who could easily crush me. And I know this because he throws capers around in his free time. If you don't know what a caper is, it's basically just a telephone pole that he lifts vertically in the air, then, you know, flips it. Tried it. It was really hard to do. But besides that point, Drew has an amazing heart. Has him and his wife, Alyssa, just have this, they talk about it, revolving door of just kids in their house. They've got four kids of their own. Their kid's story is unique. You get to hear about it in the interview, but they also decided to start fostering kids a few years ago. They're part of an organization called Safe Families, and their mission, their theme is this One More Arrow idea. And so it's awesome to hear where that came from and what that means to them as the family and just the mission that they're on as a family. But it's also encouraging because it's not like, oh man, here's this guy who's just killing it. I don't know if I can be like them. No, Drew's honest of just, hey, here's some of the failures, here's the stuff. But that idea of even though we're going to fail, we should still be pressing forward and doing great things for the kingdom. And so it's encouraging with that. It's encouraging just to hear his talk about our need for community as dads, as parents, as, you know, just Christian people, anybody, right? Just the community. But also then a fun segment for me is that Drew came and asked me some interview questions. So that's at the end. So here's my interview with Drew Burkamper on this episode of Dad Talks. All right. So I've got Drew Burkamper on the podcast tonight. Super excited because I sent him questions and he sent me his own. So I am looking forward to some of those. So yeah, Drew, just real quick, family.
Yeah.
Kids, cool. Wife.
Sure.
And the question I think I've had, and I just have like, why do you choose to wear a skirt and launch Avails?
I know, but I've got questions for you too. So we'll play back okay, and forth perfect. A little bit. Drew Burkamper and I have been married for over 20 years. We had our 20-year anniversary a year and a half ago or so. And have four kids. And those range in age. My oldest son is 20. I have two daughters kind of in the middle. They're 18 and 16. And then my youngest son is 14. Yeah. But we also have kids coming and going just kind of as foster parents. So yep. Right now in our house, we also have a little guy who's almost 2 years old living with us. So we have kind of an open door, like a revolving door house. And people ask me from time to time that I don't see very often, like, how many kids are in the house now? And yeah. At one point we had seven kids in the house and then my wife and I. So we had a pretty busy house at one point. But just last night, Alyssa and I were talking about like, what is it going to look like in a year from now? Because in a year from now, our oldest daughter will be moving out. And the little guy who's living with us probably won't be in the house from a year from now. So we'll be down to two.
Uh-huh.
And I'm certain we will not have the slightest idea how to interact, how to operate as a family.
Yeah. Yeah. With just you two and normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what it looks like right now. And the seasons of like fatherhood or parenting or whatever are kind of interesting.
Yeah.
My wife prefers like toddlers. And I prefer kind of the high school age. So
yeah,
right now we have a little bit of both.
So do you have it like, do you have just some room set up with cribs and send revolving door to where they
someone
can show up?
Someone told me that technically like one of our rooms could just be like a tax deduction.
Oh, wow.
I don't actually know if that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like I heard something about that. But we have one room that is just kind of devoted to kids coming in, foster care or otherwise. We've had kids stay with us that aren't necessarily through foster care. They're just family friends. So we have had one room that has like a trundle bed. You know what a trundle bed is?
I know.
I know what a truffle is.
I don't think it's the same. My wife grew up in a family of all girls, so they had trundle beds. As boys, I didn't even know what that was until she introduced it. It's a thing where you pull the bed out from under the bed that's already there. So
oh, yeah, on the bottom.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And then we have a crib in there, and so we make that work usually when we have guests.
I always thought that'd be so cool to have one of those beds. Until you had to have that bed.
Did you ever do anything with like bunk beds?
Oh, yeah. We had bunk beds.
Because are you the youngest?
Yep. Because at one point there was six of us in a house because my stepdad had four kids and then my brother and I. So there was at 1.6. So then, man, we never really... We all had space because the youngest stepbrother had to live upstairs because he couldn't live in the basement. So I got stuck there. And then my brother, two older brothers were together, and then sister was upstairs. So, yeah, we never really did that. We did bunk beds with my brother.
Okay. We had bunk beds too. I grew up with all brothers, three brothers. I grew up with two of them. One's considerably younger. But, Thad is my. Yeah, Thad's my brother, and then Vaughn, but Vaughn lives in California, so it goes me, I'm the oldest.
Okay.
And then Vaughn and Thad, and then Derek comes way later and is a half-brother.
Yeah, that's right.
So I lived with Vaughn and Thad, and I remember one time in bunk bed land, I woke up, and Vaughn had the top bunk, and I woke up, and he was stuck, like, between the wall and the top bunk bed. His feet were like dangling down here and he didn't even know he was still sleeping. So I woke him up. I was like, hey, and we were young enough. I just recall him being stuck and thinking it was hilarious.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
I remember falling off, like not falling off, but like waking up, you're on the floor. Yes. Like, well, clearly I fell off the bunk.
So bed. I don't know if you were at camp this year, but one year Lucas, my oldest, was out at Spring Valley and the bunks and all this stuff. And they had apparently like extension cords and everything going to all the fans or all the AC or whatever else. He fell off the top bunk, got wrapped up in an extension cord and was like, his ankle was, you know, like dangling on an extension cord. He was laying on the ground. Spring Valley is still a great place. So I don't know.
Safe.
Who's your audience? Yeah. I'm not sure how this goes, but he shares that story and actually is a fond memory. But anyhow, bunk beds. I don't know how we got there.
Kids, revolving door,
that's true.
Fosters.
Dude,
I didn't realize, I know your kids are getting older. I didn't realize Zane's 14.
Yes, dude.
Jeez.
Yes, dude.
Wow. Okay. So you've got, and I know a little bit about you, your dad's store, right? Because did you grow up here in Muscatine, but then aren't your parents separated, divorced? And you've had some stuff to work through with dad there, right?
Yeah. So grew up in Muscatine. My parents were got divorced when I was about 9.
Okay.
Could have been 10, but somewhere in there. Yeah. Right? So they got divorced when I was 9. And there were a number of years, like specifically through middle school, which is kind of a hard time to go through a struggle like that. But middle school and high school, where my dad and I weren't very close. Mm-hmm. And probably a couple years in there. My recollection, by the way, I couldn't tell you what age I was. So I'm certain it's not accurate entirely. Yeah. But my feeling is that we didn't speak a lot for a number of years through middle school and high school. And I started kind of exploring my own faith. My grandpa on my mom's side was a pastor. So we went to church like Christmas and Easter type church. And so I started exploring that for myself as a junior in high school or so. And at about the same time, obviously not coincidentally, is a God thing, but at about the same time, my dad called me and just said, hey, I want you to know I'm going to church and I'm going to Calvary here in Muscatine. And I'm trying to figure out what Jesus should mean to me. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. So my story kind of from a faith perspective, really in my mind starts right about there. But really it starts from guys who are pouring into my dad that I didn't even know about. right? And so I have really great appreciation for the guys at Calvary that I know now had been pouring into my dad. Mm-hmm. And so he and I became closer through just kind of our journeys to figure out our walk with Jesus. And so now what's a little bit interesting is he lives on the East Coast now. He lives in North Carolina and is really strong in his faith and super encouraging to me and just a blessing to me to see that. At one point, my prayer was like, I want to worship with my dad. Mm-hmm. And that did happen. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. But now he's on the East Coast and he'll occasionally shoot me a text of something he's kind of working through and scripturally, like, how should this apply to my life? And we bounce those types of questions back and forth. So it's super blessed relationship now. That's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me think, cause you said like with the story mm-hmm. I heard, is Paul Tripp went on his podcast or yep. like a little reel, but it was just talking about how like we all, essentially, it was like we all interpret our story from our perspective, even if it wasn't necessarily
right.
it was how right. we
yeah.
interpreted it in that moment.
Yes.
And yeah, then and the grace as we interact with those people. So the same like thinking mm-hmm. like you and your dad to where I had the same with my dad of like, oh yeah, I remember it being awful.
Right.
But that was from my perspective and having it
like, right.
oh, maybe I should think this through from
yeah.
his side or kind of figure out. Or even as you get, you know, farther out from it, you're like, yeah, I'm not entirely sure if this was.
Yeah, it wasn't. Certainly, it wasn't ideal. Certainly, it wasn't even God's intention for family.
Yep.
Right. But also, I don't want to do injustice to mm-hmm. the reality of it.
Yeah.
Because I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And middle schooler and high schooler and certainly not fully aware mm-hmm. of all the facts.
Yeah.
So sometimes what's interesting, especially early on in, as my wife and I started going to, the same church that he had referenced, Calvary Church. And, we started going there and there were men kind of coming out of the woodwork, like, hey, we've been praying for your dad. We've been praying for you. And this is, and they may know things that I didn't know, mm-hmm. like in high school and middle yeah. school and those types of things. I'm like, oh, I appreciate that. Here's my perspective of growing up, I realized that there's probably more to the story.
Yeah.
So.
Which, okay, that's a great segue to your question you asked. Why we as Christians' dads have the tendency to shy away from hard things when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us.
Yeah.
And just thinking, so as you said that, like with your dad to where, yeah, you never know what your parents mm-hmm. were, are mm-hmm. going through, and then you mm-hmm. become a parent and you're like, oh,
yeah.
like this makes sense. Like, and that's part two, as I look back on my story, especially in the situation I am now with yep. my dad of like, oh man, like that opens it up, but he never talked to us about it and right. never shared. I think he might've told guys, but yeah, then it's that whole thing of we just,
yeah, don't. It's interesting. Cause my pet peeve is, and I love your podcast. I think we share.
You wasn't paid for that.
What's that?
You weren't paid for that.
No, no. But I think we share a heart for Christian men, Christian fathers, that, and I think as men, we don't nurture our hearts very well.
Mm-hmm.
As Christian men, what we also don't realize is that we have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, and we discount that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even recognize it half the time, right? And so I think that we are... sometimes not bold enough in our relationships or in our opportunities or in a missional mindset just mm-hmm. all day long. And so it is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine when Christian men get together and we do the like, woe is me thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also I can play a pretty good pity party for myself. So
yeah.
I also understand where that comes from.
Yeah. Cause that's what, You said you're getting caught up on the episodes because have you listened to one of Jeff Borkowski?
No, I haven't.
So we just, yeah. I mean, a while back, but that was a conversation we had. And I thought about that when you said it of like, he was saying it from the perspective of like, his failure in his marriage pushed him to want it like self-improve
mm-hmm.
and growth towards like the church kind of, not necessarily looks down upon it, but he's like, but that's sanctification.
Yes.
So like, why
right.
why wouldn't we encourage all these things to happen? And so the question I always ask is like, does it take, like, for me, it was taking what I went through, like a terrible mm-hmm. situation mm-hmm. to become introspective and kind of finally actually look of like, oh, here are these issues, right. you know, because yeah, I was in Christian community and men's group, but it wasn't until rock bottom you go, oh,
yeah,
and work through it to where either, I don't know, like, is it either we as Christian men just, I would say probably don't want to do that
mm-hmm.
and spend the time looking at it, but I don't know why we wouldn't,
right?
Because it's so much better, but it just, you know, like it just, I'm with you. It just doesn't make yeah. sense in my brain of going,
right. Right.
We sit and complain of how life is bad or these issues, but
yeah. 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 We have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because my son, Lucas, who's the oldest, he's actually kind of an intern for a ministry now. And what's interesting too is he'll have some conversations with my wife and I just kind of sit off to the side and listen to, mm-hmm. you know, his stories and the experience that he has. I'm super blessed for what he's doing. But it was interesting because he's 20 years old and there was some revelation to him in that he's kind of in a different culture. And so he's experiencing this idea that we're ordinary, but used in an extraordinary story, like mm-hmm. God's story, right? Like, mm-hmm. so he is being mentored and led by men with just different backgrounds and different histories and very different from one another. And so he's going, you know what? I'm finally starting to see that it is our unique story and our unique skill set and our unique gifting that God uses all of it. Mm-hmm. Even the failures.
Yeah.
In our minds,
yeah.
The failures.
Yep.
Right. And so the sanctification process for everyone just lends for a vulnerability to relate to someone who's in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's awesome to hear him because he comes from a very tight knit, like Christian crew,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so the experiences kind of the world were not known to him.
Yeah.
And so, but now he's got these guys speaking into his life and into his faith. And he's just so much appreciative of the variety of men
mm-hmm.
and the variety of perspective, all Christ-based, based on experience. So it makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Which that's, again, another, I was reading, just started Leap Over a Wall, I think it is, by Eugene Peterson.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The whole premise is he's talking about the life of David and how David is great, but he's really not. Yes. And he's just a man. And right. so he makes exactly that point you just said of like, he was just an ordinary guy
yeah.
with his faith. And so I mean, just started, but processing through it of, yeah, yeah how David, so Eugene shares how there was an ordinary guy in his life
mm-hmm.
that would take him, like, I think fishing or no, it was duck hunting.
Yeah.
But like that showed him Christianity.
Yeah.
And like, it's not this crazy hard
right.
discipleship thing we tried. He was like, no, this dude just took me out. And
right.
like, we didn't necessarily have specific God talks, but it was like,
yeah, sure.
It just sure. came out of him to where, yeah. yeah, sometimes I think we make it way too hard. As men, I don't know, as men and, or as a church, of like just go.
Yeah, and we double down on our insecurities,
mm-hmm.
right? I listened to yours, the briefer, five tools for overcoming overthinking or something mm-hmm. like that, and then there was six, but really there was only like three because yeah. two of them
yeah,
or three of them were the same.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Yep.
But we double down on our insecurities, so we yep. overthink it.
Oh yeah,
like just simplify and just. Be authentic and be willing to enter relationship. I think most men prefer isolation for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
right? But be willing to enter relationship. And I'm thankful to hear of how those relationships are impacting my oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that opportunity. We have that blessing to be a small part of God's eternal plan for someone else as well.
Yeah. Do you think it's because, as far as yeah, pouring in, that we either, I guess it's part of the insecurity, or that we just have to be, if we're not perfect,
mm-hmm.
then we can't lead them, or sharing
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the areas that, you know, we get to boast in our weakness
mm-hmm.
because that's where God's more evident, most evident.
Yeah.
So I feel like the areas that I have failed in and continue to get tripped up in are exactly some other guy's experience that doesn't know Christ. And I can just introduce how Christ has influenced me in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope for those opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, I think about Toby. Do you know
yeah,
Toby?
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, that's how we connected because he was just 10 years ahead of me of like, hey,
right.
What you were going through, I've gone a little farther ahead.
Yes.
And let's just talk about it. And it yeah. wasn't like he had a plan or anything. It was just like,
right.
You have dad issues. I have dad issues. I'm a little farther along.
Right.
And let's just process. And yeah, I mean, it's, it was a huge blessing. But again, I guess his part, like you're saying, it took strength on his side to step out mm-hmm. and be willing to open up and mm-hmm. say, okay, yeah, like here yeah. it is. And he'd yeah. still, you know, yeah, he still struggles with it, but it's not as bad. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's, I'm definitely biased now a lot after what I've gone through and, you know, being in the church and you're just like, how can we have mm-hmm. these kind of things going on and nobody like,
you know, apparently it doesn't happen, you know, yeah, like yeah, in yeah. that community, right?
Yeah. Like we don't, right. It just, and, or even just which, and I'm not necessarily saying anything against the Calvary, whatever, you know, I don't yeah. know other churches. It's just the one I've been at. Like there are struggling marriages and it's just kind
mm-hmm.
of,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. pray, read the Bible more, which yeah. it's not terrible things, but there's just not more, you know? And, but again, it's part of like,
yeah,
that guy has to open up
I feel
as well.
Correct. And that's where I would say, I don't think we can put that on the entirely on the leadership of yeah. any ministry or the church.
Yeah.
Rather, us as members of the church and us as the church being vulnerable and honest in our circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that very well, and being willing to open up with understanding that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, so this is overcomable. This is something that we can conquer, but we can't really lean into each other if we're not vulnerable with one another,
mm-hmm.
right? Like someone told me once that vulnerabilities create a bridge between mm-hmm. two people,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if I recognize vulnerabilities or I recognize weaknesses or strengths or celebrations or things that I'm vulnerable with you on, it creates a bridge. And now you're more willing to come my way as well.
Yeah, that's good.
And without that, it's like you said, it's just kind of like, I don't think anybody's like, shh, let's not talk about yeah. this. It's just us not being willing to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's lots of its.
Yeah. So then thinking about you as a dad, do you have these conversations at home?
No, I'm a terrible dad.
Well, I should lead this way because how you're talking, the thing I am thankful for of going through this has taught me grace.
Yeah.
How to show it to my kids and how to be vulnerable of like, yeah, dad screws up.
Yeah.
Dad really screws up.
Oh man.
But like I'm still loved and how that yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It's way easier to talk about this on a podcast than with my kids.
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully they listen and yeah. there's some derivative that
yeah.
makes sense to them. Yep. I don't know.
Yeah.
I had to apologize yesterday in a big way to my youngest son,
mm-hmm.
right? He and I just butted heads and we were both short on sleep. And so I went to my wife. I was like, oh man, I've failed that opportunity, right? Like I it was just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I need to go talk to him. But he was already asleep. She's like, write him a note and explain and apologize and what you should have done. Cause mm-hmm. I found myself in the same struggle that he's often in. And I'm telling him, hey, stop being a moron. This isn't that hard. Mm-hmm. And then I go and be a moron.
Yeah.
And so just recognizing that, hey, listen, I failed in the same areas that I'm trying to encourage you to overcome.
Yeah.
Right. And so being willing to be vulnerable in those relationships, especially as fathers, is maybe the most critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, I've said it numerous times because I remember Andy Scheff said about his dad of like,
mm-hmm.
he was quick to apologize, said sorry. So there, mm-hmm. and so I go, man, if I can lead with that, I feel
right.
You should be good,
yeah.
Quote unquote, you know, but I, because a lot of it, like growing up for me, grace wasn't. I wouldn't say it wasn't there. It just, again, as a kid,
yeah,
my interpretation of it, it wasn't there. So then trying to do the same with your kids, and it's awful of like, oh, yeah, you just did this. Well, dad just did it 5 minutes. Gosh darn it. And you're like,
right, right.
Apologizing to a
right.
7-year-old. Gosh,
I'm it feels, it's such a weird feeling.
Like, yeah. I made you cry. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. A 35-year-old right. man made a 7-year-old
right.
cry.
Right, right. Yeah, I got the, bro. Uh-huh. You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, it was out of character. It was out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And so I caught him off guard and he's like, bro. I was
like, you're like, oh,
yeah, thanks for the bro. You know, I love the bros at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm not looking forward to where they call you these things or whatever. Like, let it go. Which that's Isaiah. I don't know. It's school. Got in trouble. It was a fist fight. I don't think it was a fist fight, but I was trying to explain to him, like, okay, you know, you shouldn't do that, but defend yourself. And if you do, like, you should do it. And I could see G on the side of, like, kind of confused. I'm like, you're completely confused with what I said. He's like, yeah, I don't know, Dad. You say run, but then you said if they start it, you punch them. And I'm like, crap. Just don't get in a fight at school.
Yeah.
Or finish it. It's like, I don't know.
So struggled with some of those same things. And it's not a particularly faith-based book, but The Way of Man, Jack Donovan is the author's name.
Okay.
But he goes about describing a very, generally, a fairly earthly perspective on the virtues of men.
Mm-hmm.
And what he had done and helped me kind of see was that, like, protecting and providing were traditionally the virtues that made you masculine outside of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Like, from a very earthly perspective, protecting and providing and keeping the perimeter so that those internal inside the perimeter could be safe mm-hmm. and provided for. Listen, if I needed to pick anybody to be on my crew to protect and provide, my youngest son's it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's all for it and he's game. Mm-hmm. Like, he won't back down.
Yeah.
So I also have to recognize that there's a place for that somewhere. And I'm going to encourage and help him find that path.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at school.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. But it will come into play and it will make him super successful. He has other traits as well, but those are just hard wired. It seems, that those things matter to him.
Yeah.
So how do I help him see the value in that?
Does he do it being, well, I mean, I guess there's Lucas, but with the girls, like, does he defend them?
Yes.
A ton. Cause I see the same in Isaiah of, like,
So they came back from, some gathering, outing, and they came back with, you know, talking about whatever was going on. And my youngest son, Zane, he has a sense of justice that may or may not be accurate, but he has this strong sense of justice. And so he's listening to him. He's like, what do you need me to do? And I'm like, no, dude, you don't understand. This is just a venting session. Like, let that happen.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, but I got to make it right.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, you don't. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But that will be a really positive trait in the right setting.
I can just see him flicking out a knife.
Listen, dude.
Where is it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could get into some. Yeah. You're not wrong.
But that's a cool point you're saying of helping, not because I mean it kind of is in our side of, oh, you can't be the protector and manly, like, no, we need that,
right?
But like you said, there's a time and a place for it of how do you help shepherd that or nurture it of, because I've even thought of that with like Isaiah of, because hasn't Zane done boxing?
Yeah, like boxing, jujitsu. He's at wrestling practice right now. Before I came here, I dropped him at wrestling and ballet dance.
Okay.
And rolled here, so I hope someone picks him up.
Yeah. You'll get texts. Hey, it's fine. We're almost done. Good.
Yeah.
But I've thought of that for like Isaiah, of just teaching him how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's, I mean, any of us who've done wrestling, fighting, it's not like, oh, now I learn I go beat people. It's like, oh, now I know that hurts.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, but use it well, you know, to where.
I don't know about brain development, but the judgment side, like the strength side and the tactical side of it, like Zane's all about.
Yeah.
But I tell him all the time, like, hey, dude, I don't trust your judgment right now. Like, this isn't someday that'll click and hopefully that'll make sense. But yeah. So anyhow, we're a little heavy on that, but.
That's awesome. Okay, so you've got the open door thing going way back to family
stuff.
Yeah,
you're good.
Like, how do you, because you got one more arrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, you're fine. Yeah.
One more arrow and then 127 and 16. No, that's it.
Yeah,
but like, where was the heart of all of that? Like,
yeah.
Was it just one day you're like, hey, let's do this? Or kind of, where'd that all start?
So, I don't know where that all started. I can probably ramble on it for a couple minutes, but, when my wife and I got married, I said, how many kids do you want to have? Mm-hmm. She said four. We have four. So that came true, kind of in a weird way, and I'll get to that. But then we jump into foster care, mm-hmm. and we did foster care primarily to be able to provide respite for her folks who had been doing foster care for a number of years before we moved home, mm-hmm. back home. And so we thought it'd just kind of be a temporary opportunity to provide respite care for the kids that were in my in-laws' home. And that's not what it was. God said, yeah, go get your license because I got a different plan for you. So mm-hmm. we went and got licensed in foster care or certified or whatever you got to be to be foster parents. And, along the lines of, we're now going on 15 plus years of being foster parents. And of course the trials come up seemingly more regularly than the wins in foster parenting. Right. Mm-hmm. So we were at a, 4th of July parade. We had a handful of kids, our own, plus maybe one or two foster kids with us. And it's hot as all get out. Mm-hmm. And I love Muscatine, but our 4th of July parade is not a destination.
Yeah, no.
We go down traditionally because it's a family thing and we're trying to get the kids out, but I'm shot and kind of, quite honestly, a little bit tired of mm-hmm. doing it. And the kids are crazy. Everybody's sweating. And I probably had a bad attitude. And so somehow though, Psalm 127, for whatever reason, just kind of came to mind. And Psalm 127, somewhere in there, likens kids in our lives to arrows in the hands of a warrior, mm-hmm. right? So God, I feel like, was kind of speaking that to me as I was struggling to really want to be there. Yeah. And I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I don't need this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. No. So Psalm 127 likens the kiddos in our lives like arrows in the hands of a warrior, and we shoot arrows out to pierce the world, pierce whatever our target is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a hunter, so I don't know a lot about it, but to pierce whatever the target is. And so likewise, at that moment, I was grumbly, and God put that on my heart. And so for us, right then, one more arrow became kind of our rally cry. Mm-hmm. One more arrow, just one more arrow. We can do one more arrow. We get a call for a kiddo, and like maybe we wouldn't want to, but it was on our heart as one more arrow. Like we can love on this kid and hopefully send him back out into the world, him or her back out into the world with an opportunity to influence the world for Christ. Hmm. That's it. Like send the arrow out.
Yeah.
We don't know where they land sometimes, but we have to have faith in that.
Yeah.
So that's where one more arrow came from. And then as that became our own like marriage mission, that was kind of our rallying cry for our marriage, it then became like, well, what's a one more arrow moment, right? And so for me, the idea of a one more arrow moment was finding the exact moments when kids were influenced for Christ and then hearing the story of those kids going out into the world. So I started a really bad podcast. Now, the guests were great. The stories were awesome.
Yeah.
God was evident in that. I was really excited and got kind of excited about hearing the stories, mm-hmm. but hated the technical side of trying to produce a podcast.
Yeah.
So it kind of fizzled out. There's a couple episodes still out there, but there's a website, onemorearrow.org, a couple stories there, and probably a link to 10 or 12 podcasts or mm-hmm. something, but kind of cool stories. You may or may not be able to hear them. I had the Galloways on.
Yep, because I was listening to Orvis one, which I haven't finished just because I'm like, oh, I know them, but don't know them, and I want to hear their story. So I was listening to that.
But one. I had the Galloways on. You've had Mark on this podcast, and so I didn't have all the ability to read whether or not mics were working and all this stuff. I just set them up and hoped it worked.
Yeah,
but I also felt like I needed to be the next like big podcast. So I had five mics on a table the size of this table that we're sitting at, and they were all like reading everybody else's, like it was catching all that. So the audio is terrible. And I apologize to the Galloways and anybody who spent time with me during those years. But the stories are fantastic. So if you can listen through all of the deficiencies in the audio and the tech side of it, the stories of people's lives being impacted for Christ, whether it's from a parent's perspective or the actual kid at the time who's now an adult looking back and seeing in hindsight and remembering and recalling God's goodness, there's pretty powerful stories in there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you're getting your 127, that moment where God's like, hey, like those just piss you off.
I
mean, one is a human, but then like as a dad, numerous times where you're like,
right.
So you're yelling at him for why?
Yeah.
And what were you just doing the other day?
Yeah. Right.
Oh gosh.
Right.
And you're like, no, you're right. Like, okay. But it goes back to, like you said, where the Spirit is dwelling in us of going, hey buddy, you going to do some? Like,
fine. And listening, and being obedient to that, I think we aren't as missionally minded as maybe what the Spirit, like if we were really fully tuned in and obedient to what the Spirit would have us do, we'd be missionally minded all the time. And just one more arrow or 127 is kind of what it then kind of morphed into for us, is like one more arrow and 127, Psalm 127, but also James 1 verse 27 talks like is a directive, like talking about taking care of orphans and widows. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of morphed a little bit, just so we'll say either one more arrow or 127. And it's really the same. In my head.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where that all works. And I like even just like you said, the idea to where you're shooting them out and some of them, no idea where it's landing,
right.
But just that faith, which is, I'm always excited for that of in heaven. I don't know how it works. If like, you know, Drew and Alyssa will get to sit at a TV
and
then see these stories played out of like, hey, remember this arrow you shot? Right. Yeah. He went and did, you know, this and this, or she did this, or, you know, like. So,
I'm going to share an example of that, which is one of my favorite conversations that I had on the One More Arrow podcast was a friend, her name's Andrea, and her husband's Rob, and we interviewed them and their stories out there. But she, as a youngster, went through some struggles, and ultimately now her daughter, Shelby, is ministering through dance to our kids, right? To your daughter and my daughter.
Yep.
And I think back, way back when, like, Andrea was experiencing her story.
Yeah.
And all the uncertainty and all the crazy and self-admittedly, even like the sin of it and the redemptive story from that point to now her daughter, and Rob and Andrea are very faithful. Mm-hmm. And now her daughter being able to minister to my kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
And how cool is that? Oh, and so that's the one more arrow story. Like you're saying, you might not know where it lands. And I'm certain there were times in Andrea's story where she had no idea what the future was to hold, but God did.
Yep.
God had a plan. And if she would have made some earthly decisions along the way, that plan would not have come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Like she was certainly led by Jesus loving folks and the Spirit. And now I just think that's one of the coolest examples of one more arrow or 127 moments.
Yeah, that's pretty cool story, mm-hmm. how that works out. But then, even like you said, I think some of our issue on that stuff is just like we as a culture don't have the patience or I guess, yeah, patience to wait. Hey, right. like
we want just it in another step.
And it's just, yeah. just trust me. Like, no, I just want to be done. Like, nope, just like, cause I've, you know, I've said it before. I've just, there's times where you're like, all right, God, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn another lesson. Like, well, I don't care.
Right. right.
Because there's a next thing. But then it's even like you've spoken of, I'm going to take you through this because you're going to meet someone
yeah.
who's going to need you
yes.
healed from this so that you can help them and continue it on to where right. beginning to shift your mindset of, yeah, woe is me, of going, oh, nope, there's something good that'll come of it that I can use later. I may never know it. And some of them, like that's what always, I what shouldn't say, hated it in youth group. There's a youth pastor like, the most, you know, you'd be like, I preached this amazing sermon or did this great mission trip. And you'd be like, hey, remember that one time you gave me a high five?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would change my life. You're like,
yeah.
Well, it was just like an offhanded, like, yeah, but you didn't know what was going through, you know, right. that day and what was happening. Right. That was amazing. You're like, what? Like,
yeah.
It's just yeah. awesome how that all, like, how he works. Cause we mm-hmm. have, I mean, no idea. Like, mm-hmm. we cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that this kid is going to go here and then this kid and then they'll be connected. And it
yeah.
is amazing of just yeah. being
well, it's always to it. The willingness and taking a couple moments, which we don't do, to recall the story, recall the promises, recall his goodness that you've already experienced. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what the intent of some of those conversations were to take time to reflect, right? So that we would be more encouraged in moving forward. Mm-hmm. But sometimes also, and this was probably something that I caught from church, but sometimes like God doesn't want you to know the end game because it would prevent you possibly from taking the first step. Mm-hmm. The end, the result may not be what you think you're on a journey for, mm-hmm. right? So if he revealed to you, this is how this is going to end, you would miss the opportunity to be part of the story in the first place yeah. because you wouldn't be bold enough to take it,
yeah,
right? And so sometimes I think those things aren't revealed to us and obviously intentionally so that we don't get hung up and like overthinking it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's one thing I had to change my mindset of from asking God why mm-hmm. to what. Mm-hmm. Like not why is this happening, but like, okay, what do you want me to learn? Like
right.
I can't figure out why. I don't know why this is happening. What is going on?
But that's
like,
a good
what
catch.
Do you want me to learn?
Yeah.
Because I'm about to go, you know, yeah, yeah. you're like, I am lost. So, all right. You keep looking at your journal. What else?
No,
you
you're
got?
Good. Well, you're a journaler.
Oh yeah. And I hate it.
You do?
Well, I hate it and love it because there are, you look back, there's moments like, gosh,
yeah.
I was an awful human, but then it's cool yeah, yeah. also to see if like, well, okay.
Yeah. So I love journaling, especially all about the time of January. Every year it's like, oh, I'm going to get back into yeah, journaling. Yeah, yeah. And then it falls short. You had mentioned that you have a bunch of journals or maybe pieces of journals yep. or whatever else. I was just reflecting on that because I have a bunch of journals that I am notorious for getting like a third or a half of the way through my journal uh-huh. and going, oh, nope, we got to start again. And so I get another one. So I've got a bunch of these stupid journals that are only half or a third of the way full. So I'm trying to get better at journaling. And I just wrote down, you know, today's podcast with you and kind of the conversation and some of the things that you shot my way. You know, for me, I think, and this is, I've at least written it down on an index card, but that in some days is the extent of it.
Yeah.
But I would challenge like any of the men or women who are listening, like create your own personal mission, mm-hmm. right? Create your mission and define what that really is. Because if you're married, your marriage should have a mission. Because mm-hmm. what else are you married for, right? Generally, all of the reasons that we kind of list are fairly short-sighted, But if there's not a missional mindset even to that, or even to your family and parenting and you and your kids and being able to kind of mobilize that unit, that little squad for the kingdom, it gives you an opportunity to define a collective mission and vision. And now the in your example, you got younger kids, they get to be part of like, oh, this is our mission with dad.
Yeah.
Or this is our intent. This is what we're here for. Mm-hmm. Right. So for us, it was the 127 thing. But I have written out my own little personal mission, and it captures things for me personally. It captures things for me and my marriage. It captures things for my family and how to lead my kiddos. And then also for me, just a work component of that. But like I said, I at least at one point wrote it down on an index card and like stapled it up somewhere where everyone can see it and be pretty impressed by me. But I don't follow through on it more often than not.
Yeah.
But at least the practice of trying to establish a mission for yourself.
That make like I just have to, because I'm the same way. Like you'll get excited, like
here it is.
Yeah. And then it but there was let's see, my buddy Carlin was talking about he mentioned it. And then I've heard it before, like, you know, your like goals, essentially, like if you don't write your goals down, they're just dreams. Like if you don't put any action to them.
Yeah,
but
I've heard,
so, but then he was talking about, which was encouraging, to where like he wrote down, similar to you, of like wrote down some of his goals and then like forgot about them and then saw him later and it's like, oh, I did it. Mm-hmm. And it was just that action of getting that in his mind and kind of like prepping or whatever.
Well, the affirmation side.
Yeah.
You know, the affirmation of kind of being deliberate and God's willingness to see you through some of those things for success. Even as you might define it in an earthly way, like God wants you to feel part of his plan. And if your mission is around his will, I'm a little more confident that he's willing to pull for you in that.
Yeah.
And the affirmation of that had to have been cool.
And I agree with you. I think you should have a mission, you know, personal for kids and, you know, whatever, like depressing side. But that's some video I saw, they were talking like with men, you know, and their struggle to where, you know, with suicide stuff, it's just because they don't like, I don't have a purpose, you know, or either you know, as I think it was with like the military where they come back and like, what am I going to do? But then as far as men, like if they don't have that purpose, even farther back to your Jack Donovan stuff of like, we're supposed to protect, we're supposed to provide, we're supposed to do this. Well, then if I'm not doing any of those things, I just, I feel worthless, or my kids are mad, or my marriage is bad, like whatever. It's like, oh, well, I just suck and quit, where you have that mission statement. But then even like for me, the biggest was the grace side, but then, you know, it's all the addicts say it in AA, and I've, you know, it's progress, not perfection, you know, for that man, for, you know, for you of like, okay, this is what I want.
Yep.
Taking a step, it's not perfect, but I can continue to move forward in it and have purpose. Cause that's huge. Cause I think, if you just go I don't know. I mean, I did it. And I don't know how you help guys get out of, you know, the hamster wheel to where you're just, work, come home, eat, sit on the couch, or I don't, whatever, you know.
Well, we all have those tendencies. We all have those preferences at times.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is, I'm speaking for and to myself, but I feel like one of the biggest threats to us as Christian men is isolation. So when we talk about rhythms and you talk about some of the habits that you'd like to create to be more like Christ. One of the biggest ones for me to get over and try to embrace is community. And so even these types of conversations can be encouraging to guys who otherwise might have the tendency or feel like they want to isolate. So if we can draw men out of isolation by maybe even just hearing a conversation like this, or sitting with them at a coffee shop or whatever, draw men out of isolation, we overcome a whole host of temptations. And I feel like for me personally, like I prefer isolation. I prefer to be sitting on my couch, put me in a closet. I don't care where you put me. I just don't want people around me.
Yeah.
But being drawn out and committed to me, it's a discipline of community.
Because
some people, it just comes a little easier. But to me, it's a discipline of community. And I fear for those who don't find that.
Yeah.
And do prefer to isolate. And by the way, that's not just men. Like, I know you see it too, but our kiddos right now, especially going through like the quarantine stuff and then post quarantine and all of that, like isolation has devastated, a lot of our kiddos. And I know that, you know, some people and you ask, and I appreciate you asking, but like the 127 thing and the foster care thing, that's just our thing. That doesn't have to be everybody's thing. But also, don't look too close because it's messy, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's even messy in my own family. Yeah. Like, we struggle through all of the things that no one would maybe consider or think, right? But that will be amplified if I isolate or my kids isolate, right? And so just been super thankful over the course of the last couple of years for community, trying to get better at doing it myself. And that goes for me and my family members. Like I was saying earlier, my oldest son, he's in Hawaii, but he is being drawn out by other men who are trying to figure out their relationship and how to follow Christ as best they can from the circumstances that they are in or were in, and drawing him into their lives.
Yeah.
That community means a lot to me. I don't know those guys, but I'm thankful for them.
Yeah. That they're pouring in your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The isolation thing, I think about, like, I'm, you know, the school's right there, neighborhood, houses. Yeah.
By the way, you live in a neighborhood where, like, within a, how many pastors?
Yeah. There's Johan's two down houses.
Yeah.
Chino's two blocks down. Josue's and Joel are Joel two
somewhere
over
there.
Yeah. They're Nate, Josue and Joel are like across the street from
each
other.
Are you trying to get extra blessing or?
Yeah. You know,
proximity.
If something bad happens, this is holy.
This ain't gonna happen. It's not going to happen here.
It's been blessed. But if, like, nobody's out in the streets. I just, like, as a kid, I remember whatever neighborhood kids, we would just meet in the middle. We'd hockey, you know, whatever, to where I'm like,
for sure,
I feel bad for my kids here. I'm like, I know there's the kids that are same age as them, but. We all do our thing. I do like the school because then my kids go over and play at the school and connect that way. But it's like, nobody wants to.
I'm trying to remember the book. I don't read a lot. I listen to a lot of books because I'm on the road a lot. But I'm trying to remember the book that kind of gave an example of that. And man, you might be familiar. But I think the example of how we as a society and culture became more of a isolation and privacy. We value that. But the example of that is, like, there's fewer homes being built with the wraparound front porches.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to watch people walk past our house or like have that interaction. It becomes awkward. Unfortunately. And then also the example that they kind of built on that with was even things like attached garages. You don't need, you get out of your car, you don't even have to get out of your house. Oh, you pull your car straight into the garage. Yep. You don't have to walk down the sidewalk, walk into your driveway or whatever. You do not have to have any interactions if you don't want to.
Huh. I never thought about the garage.
But things like that have established it like an ease of isolation. And so it's just, I don't know why that matters, but just to fight against some of those things that we might not even recognize are set up to make it easy to isolate.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like, and not like where we live, to where, you know, my neighbor, I mean, there's a fence and you can look down and see Johan two houses down.
Okay.
Hey, you're cooking. Hey.
Yeah.
And the neighbor here, like, I didn't come out to talk to you, but she, you know, or they're going to talk to me.
Sure.
Or, hey, you see, like,
oh, I'm a terrible neighbor.
Like, it's perfect because. Yeah. Yeah, the other side, and like, we don't talk on the street, but you go back and you see, like, oh, yeah, we have to interact, to where it's forced, like, the neighbor that's next to us, they have dogs.
Yeah.
We talk, and, you know, we had a dog, and, I mean, we're like best friends now because we connect, you know, through that and the fence, and then you see the next, like, I am thankful for that. instead of like, yeah, I've got a 6-foot fence. I never have to see you. Just leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah, sure. It'd be nice. But it's also like, okay, this forces you out and connect and get to know and actually do something. Granted, I'm always mad because the guy across the street has a smoker, the green
egg.
Yeah. And like, is always something. And I know his wife and I've met him once where I'm like, hey, come on.
Yeah. Share a little. Like, just, let's be neighborly.
Yeah, just pass it out. Right, I mean, forget treats. Bring me some ribs. Yeah,
I'm not the best neighbor, but I am trying to work on the community thing. I do prefer my privacy and some of those things. I'm more of a homebody than I am go out and be part of a crowd. But
yeah,
it is important to challenge yourself in that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah. I'm the same.
No, you're not.
Oh, no. I would rather sit in here. And I just go in my office and work or do something, really? Like have to force myself to like, oh, let's go out and, or the easy of just go knock on Johan's door and just say, hey, I'll just sit at your house.
Right.
Like,
right.
Which isn't bad. Yeah. I mean, at least gets me out. But if getting to the other stuff, it's like, ugh, no, thank you. Mm. You got any other deep thoughts there in that deep journal?
Not really, probably.
Okay. Well, here's your deep question.
Okay.
What number do you have your toaster set on and why?
Oh, yeah, that was my question. So this came up. It was kind of funny. And I have been looking forward to having this conversation. But the other day, my wife was making toast for breakfast or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And she says out loud, directed at me. By the way, I don't really know the clinical definition of psychopath. But she goes, what psychopath has their toaster set at 7? Ours only goes to 7.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what's wrong with that? So then I was curious. I wonder what JT has his toaster.
What psychopath is burning their toast?
Right. Well, right. And I prefer it because I remember my grandfather always eating burnt toast and having coffee. So that's what I do.
Yuck.
So that's why my toaster is set at 7.
Yeah.
Because I like it charred on both sides. But where's your toaster set?
Oh.
And why?
So here's the thing. I would have been 33. I didn't realize that was a timer. And the numbers are minutes. So one is it's 1 minute, two.
I'm 41 and you're just now revealing this to me.
I mean, my brother told me, I haven't tested.
Is that true?
I don't know, but he's like, dude, that's what those are for. I'm like,
no. 7 minutes of toasting is what I'm setting that to.
To where it's cooking for that long. So I haven't tested. No, mine's at like, granted, mine's breaking. So was it like 3 and it would set it on fire? I mean, it goes to 7, but it would just be toasted. Oh. So I barely turned it down to like 2 and it's perfect.
What's perfect to you? That's what I'm asking.
60% of the time.
Yeah, but what's perfect?
It's that golden just
brown.
But which is funny, I'd rather eat my marshmallows.
That's what I was about to ask you. Do you burn your marshmallows?
Marshmallows, set them on fire.
Okay.
But toast, yeah, you just get just the nice crispiness to where it's still kind of bendable.
That's kind of pansy. Here's another question I have for you.
I just want to smell your breath.
Rapid fire.
Coffee.
Listen, you know what's awesome? Listen, for real. 2 years ago, I had COVID. I still can't smell. So I don't know if my breath is bad. I don't care. I cannot smell things.
Yeah.
And so with the little guy who's in our house, mm-hmm. I'm the diaper changer.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Because they're like, hey, you can't smell it anyhow.
Uh-huh.
I don't particularly enjoy that.
Yeah. No.
But
because there's still the texture and the sound. I hate that.
Here's another question for you. Ready?
Yep.
Best or favorite bedtime snack?
I'd probably say cereal. Cereal or ice cream, which I know is both are awful.
Yeah.
But yeah. Because like cereal, because you think it fills you up. And then ice cream, just because I'd eat
delicious.
Ice cream anytime.
It's delicioso.
And has few calories, right?
Mm-hmm. What are the best tennis shoes you've ever worn?
They were like the second version of CrossFit shoes.
Like the
Reebok CrossFit Nano. Because they're flat, they're wide, because my feet are huge.
Yeah.
Fit in perfectly, lasted forever. And they're like Denver Bronco colors. I don't remember why I picked those colors, but.
So this can be a rabbit trail. Hang with me. So I see now like these Nike Air Max things with the big bubble letters that say Air on the side of the shoes.
Uh-huh.
And they're cool now. And as a kid, we didn't have much money. Yep. So when I got something cool, it was usually like 2 years too late.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a pair of those Nike Air Max whatevers with the big bubble air side word on the side. But it was too late. I also had a Knot shirt. So I don't know if Knot was a thing when you were younger, but like you'd say something, hey, love you, bro. Knot.
Uh-huh.
Right. My mom found me the a white shirt. Uh-huh. It just had a big letters Knot on it. Yep. Right. But it was like 2 years after that was cool.
Dang.
And now I find myself still like buying stuff that was cool 2 or 3 years ago. And yeah. I'm just trying to hang on.
I don't even know what's cool anymore. Right. Like, is what skinny jeans are out, but
I was
they're
never
not
able to.
Well, rock but some even like jeans. To, I'm like, Clint Finley always sucks. I'm like, dude, yeah. You wear Wranglers. Like, yeah. Those are skinny jeans. Like, no, they're not. They're fit over my boot. Like,
yeah,
those are still tight. It's just whatever. And like skinny jeans, you every pair is skinny jeans to you and I because we
that
have
could
big
be true.
Life. Like,
that's right.
These aren't
that's
skinny right. jeans. These that's are right. normal size, but my legs are.
Here's my last question. I know that you do like a rapid fire thing. So yep. I tried to come up with some of these for myself, for you.
Yep.
And here's my last one for you. So what do you see in your kids that reflects you?
Oh, I was just talking to, oh gosh, what's her name? Dina. I can't think of her last name. They go to Calvary. She works at Vision Center. She makes
probably
fun.
Doesn't listen. Do you think?
No, she won't. but she makes fun of me all. So I like. Have gone in and she made fun of me for my glasses because I bought them online. It didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
She just has a hootenanny. But she worked either the nursery or like the twos at church. So she knew like all my kids were through them.
Yeah.
So anyway, she was asking me, you know, how were the kids? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, so Genevieve is 9. And like, oh, yeah, you know, wait till she's a teenager. And like, well, it happens pretty quick with girls because they're not. But she's exactly like me. In the female version.
Yeah.
And
in what ways?
So, like you're saying with Zane, high justice, high sense of right and wrong.
Yeah.
So like this, it's black and white.
Right.
And this is what's going to happen. And so like, oh, hey dad, but you said this.
Yeah.
I know there's gray. Like just.
You were reflecting on that even though like from a grace perspective.
Yeah.
Right. For you growing yep. up.
Oh
the,
yeah.
The grace side of it.
Cause I was very black and white and here's right. like, and I mean, even. You know, would get in trouble. I would get reprimanded at Calvary even because I'd be like, no, you said this and this is wrong. And like very forced. I'm like, dude, you're being confrontational. I'm like, so I'm right. You're wrong. You know, like
right.
All having
right.
process. But then the other thing is as the youngest, I obviously would get beat. So I'm not physically stronger, but I'm mentally stronger. So I know how to like,
oh yeah, yeah,
rapid
yeah,
fire,
yeah,
mouth
yeah.
off.
And you're pretty good with your words.
With my words, yeah. And I'm a mumbler, and then would always get the last word. She does the exact same thing, and I'll be like, no, you're not. And then she'll like, okay, dad, and walk. Up. I'm like, what'd you say? Nothing. You're like, oh, I mean, exact. And so it's gotten to where now she can kind of banter with me a little bit, mm-hmm. and it had like to the point where I'm like, okay, like
this is gonna get. To be a problem.
Stop. Yeah. I was like, you know, and like trying to be the mature adult of laughing that my daughter just completely insulted me.
Yeah.
And of going, yeah, that was probably kind of like to the point, like my brother has laughed a few times, like, oh my gosh, like that was,
she
I'm
just,
like, yeah,
she
that
just
was
pulled
cold.
A U.
But, she, and so then it's funny because his daughter is the same way and has done stuff
gotcha.
Like with him. So,
gotcha. How about Isaiah or Juliet?
Isaiah is. It's you've said it too, where like you yell at the kid, and you're like, gosh, that's me. Where they're, I mean, perfect example, Isaiah, we're getting ready for school. Isaiah, go get dressed. 5 minutes later, I'm like, where's Isaiah? Butt naked in his bedroom playing with his action figures. What are you doing? And like, I don't know what I was doing.
Right.
Like, completely forgot what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I would get mad at him, and then I'll come down here and go,
what am I
doing? What was I doing? Yeah. Why is that sitting over there? Oh, because you were doing that, Dad.
And you got some reason you're wandering around butt naked too? Or?
Oh, yeah. Butt naked all the time. Like, they're like, what do you put some clothes on? But the thing I love about him that isn't me, he's very tender.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like,
that's cool.
Having a tender boy and be like, why are we crying? Like, because I have feelings, Father. And like, oh, shoot. And then Juliet is, even though, like I said, I do like to stay in. If I'm comfortable in a crowd, I can easily... Work the crowd. That's her. Like she left the Y the other day. 6 girls hugging her. Bye, Juliet. You're the best. We love you. Move on. Like she knows how to work the crowd and make people laugh. And
side note also, my wife tells me, and I don't know if this is true, and even if you tell me it's true, I'm probably not going to remember this. You and I, two of our kids, have the same birthdays. So I'm hoping you remember your kids' birthdays, because I don't remember mine.
I do.
Go.
No, it's Lucas and I. What's his birthday?
Lucas is June 4th.
Okay. Juliet, June 4th. Okay. Yep.
That's so as far as I got. I told you one, now you go.
My last year first, and then so then the other two are in October.
October 3rd.
Bella.
October 3rd is Zane.
Okay, that's Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting, right?
Uh-huh. Look at that.
Yeah. Keep rolling.
That's pretty neat. I just forgot the question. But yeah, my kids see him.
Reflections of you.
Yeah, which is really cool. Like, and also even like I've talked to my kids of how two people can come together, create three, four, whatever kids. Mm-hmm. They're all different, have similar stuff, but can still be completely different. Mm-hmm. Even to where like they may act like one, but they're not like anyone. Like that's what always blows my mind of going, yeah, G is like me, but there's still stuff she does that is not me. Or Isaiah, that's always crazy.
Yeah. Do you ever, so what I have found is that for me, when I'm really frustrated with one of my kids, it's generally because it's something that I struggle with.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like I'm the most frustrated with them.
Yep.
And it takes me a while to sometimes realize that, but I am the most frustrated with them when all too often they're reflecting a temptation or a sin bent that I have. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no, like that's a good mirror, if you will, like hold the mirror up and see your own face type of thing.
Oh yeah. Cause that's the worst is like one of them yells or gets upset about something. And then you do the same. You're like, oh yeah, now I see where you're getting it. Cause your dad, I'm like, gosh, darn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked, so you had another, two, cause one was the most embarrassing thing your kid has said to a stranger. I couldn't think of a specific, I just hit like, especially now that I'm single. So like Juliet loves people. We'll start talking to people and their moms to where then it's like awkward. Cause I'm like, okay, I don't really want to talk to you. But she's like, oh, this is my friend. This is my dad. You're like, wow, what? But then as far as it was awesome, but I guess I should be embarrassed. I remember, it was the Des Moines Mall. With they have that Jordan Creek.
Yes,
they have the like kid play area, and so G would have been somewhere between 2 and 4. So she's sitting on the slide to go, and I think either somebody was behind her or something. So she was waiting her turn. She was doing exactly like she should, waiting her turn. Well, some bigger kid decides to walk up the slide.
Right, that's a no-go.
Just kind of like I do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Sits down in front of her of like, I'll do whatever I want. She leans back and headbutts him. Just boom!
Yeah.
Drops the kid. I'm like, oh crap, like kind of proud. And Becca was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? I was like, I go give her a high five. Like,
we gotta go.
That was amazing. But I was like, yeah, like we need to go because hopefully that kid's mom
there's some liability here somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, she like leaned back and just bam! And I'm like, where did you learn to headbutt or why was that your first thought of like, I'm just going to headbutt you in the back of the head and drop you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But it was awesome. I was like, good job, G. Like, you showed that boy. You don't take nothing. But hopefully he doesn't come get us. So
I don't want to meet his dad.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll flip it on you. Rapid fire. Favorite TV or movie dad?
Listen. Can we stop for a second?
What?
When you... I've listened to a handful.
Yep.
Generally... You say rapid fire, which I appreciate, but it never turns out to be that way.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'm prepared to be rapid fire because I wrote this down.
Okay.
That's actually what's partly in my journal.
Okay, okay. Rapid fire, go.
No, you got to ask
next.
Me. Let's start again.
Okay, sorry. Go. Favorite TV movie dad, go.
Mike Baxter, who is Tim Allen on Last Man Standing, go.
Hobby you enjoy.
Napping. Go. Hey, this is why this is no longer becomes rapid fire.
A dad is.
Well, I like Mark Galloway's answer, a pursuer. Wow, you might have to edit that. A pursuer. Go.
Best piece of dad advice you have received.
Don't leave a bruise. Go.
God. I can't do this.
Keep going.
What brings you pride as a dad?
This is serious. I love it when my kids embrace the gifts that God's given them. The uniqueness that God's given them. I love seeing that.
I won't comment rapid fire. That's great.
Yeah.
So what story do you want your kids to share with their kids about you?
He was always there and he's the strongest man I know. Boom.
Boom. Rapid fire.
Is that the fastest?
I mean, sure, it's rapid fire. It's more. I should change it because I like. Oh, man, I like to talk.
I mean,
okay,
we can
so
keep
let's
going on it.
Okay, we're done.
I just wanted to
demonstrate
what a rapid fire really should look like.
Jeez, I get it now. I've called out on my own podcast. Okay, hobby, baloney, napping. How did you get into this? What's the pole?
The caber.
Caber. Toss. Caber Highland toss. Games. You throw hay bales.
Yeah. So I have. Competed in a couple Highland games for the last 3 or 4 summers. And what really sparked that was some years back, I thought to myself, man, I need to get in shape. It has never happened, but mm-hmm. I attempted it.
Right? You're in a shape.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So I started doing Spartan races. Have you done a Spartan race?
No, because I'm claustrophobic. I'm not going under anything to where I'm.
Gosh. All right. Listen. So I did several Spartan races. Or Tough Mudders, or whatever they are, it doesn't matter. And I did like 2 of them, and I was like, man, this is fun. But I got to the third one, and the third track, they set up differently, and it was all upper body stuff. So like monkey bar stuff mm-hmm. and climb the rope and all that. Well, I've got really long arms, and I'm really heavy, so my arms can't hold up.
Yeah.
Right? But anyhow, I'm on this thing, and I'm running, and ahead of me, a ways ahead of me, there's this big dude trying it. And I'm looking like he's laboring hard, mm-hmm. right? So I get up to him, and I was going to offer like, hey, I'll run with you because I'm mm-hmm. in better shape. But apparently not because he was ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I get up to him. I'm like, man, this isn't built for big guys, is it? Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, I look at myself, and I'm like, what am I doing here? right? So somehow, and that was like in 2018 or something, 17. And somehow, then I see a picture of like these Highland games, and I'm like, those guys are my guys. Like mm-hmm. I'm built the same way they are. I can go do that. I shouldn't be doing Spartan races. Yeah. So I switched and have done just a couple, like just a couple Highland games since then. But it's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Caber.
Yeah. Caber toss.
Me, you, right?
Yeah.
Nick Martin.
Yeah.
Just to get it picked up. I don't even know how you lift the thing. It's incredible.
I like the workout. I like training for it because it's
awesome.
A different type of like, I'm not gonna ever be a bodybuilder, but I do like to try to stay fit-ish, and that was a way to do it.
I was impressed and just lift it and throw it. It's like holy cow.
Before
we go, do you, and not call it your pitch, but mm-hmm. just the Safe Family stuff.
Oh yeah, cool, that's
that
awesome.
Kind of promoted
I appreciate that. So Safe Families of the Quad Cities is the chapter that we in Muscatine County would be part of. Mm-hmm. We're kind of a service area of Safe Families of the Quad Cities. Well, Safe Families, higher level, is an opportunity for the church specifically to surround parents who recognize they need a support. One way or another. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, as you may imagine, it's single moms that are going through a crisis in life that are loving parents, but they don't have the support. Mm-hmm. Lots of times I take that for granted. You know, my mom, my dad, my in-laws, my brothers, whatever. I have that support. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of folks who don't, but they have kiddos and they need help. Mm-hmm. So Safe Families is an opportunity for the church to surround those families that have identified and voluntarily may choose for some reprieve from parenting so that they can manage whatever crisis they're in.
Yeah.
It can be an addiction of some sort. It can be a medical issue, whatever it is. And so they ask Safe Families to pair them with a host family that then... From there, the host family and multiple other roles are intended to wrap their arms around this family, not just to host kids, but also to lead them to Christ, mm-hmm. right? To demonstrate Christ's character, to to your testimony is not just what you say, but also what you do. Mm-hmm. And so we're Safe Families is really just trying to demonstrate Christ's character and the testimony of these families who come alongside folks who are in crisis, and they recognize it, and they want to avoid getting into a real issue, whether it be like a DHS issue or worse. And so they come to Safe Families asking for help from the church. And that's what it is.
Huh. That's cool. I mean, I knew your help. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Since where they're coming, like, hey, we want some help.
Yeah.
And have some reprieve to be able to get through this so it doesn't get worse.
Yeah. So it's not uncommon for a mom to be pregnant, but not have, but also have other kids that she's got going to the hospital and have a kiddo, and she needs help with the other kiddos that she has. Mm-hmm. Other medical issues, like I said, other work issues. It could be a housing issue. It could be an addiction issue that they really are trying to overcome. And so they are asking for help and hospitality, biblical hospitality, like strangers in your house.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just look up Safe Families or how can they get connected?
That's a good question. I probably should know that, the website. But yes, it's Safe Families for Children, and it's probably safe. I'm going to guess, and I'd be wrong.
You can find it.
Yeah,
Google it.
Yeah,
Safe Families Quad City.
And so in the Quad City chapter, there's eight or nine counties that are part of that chapter. Muscatine County is one of those. And we're just trying to bring a presence of Safe Families to the Muscatine service area. Hmm. And so that's what my wife and I are working on right now.
Nice. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the podcast. And
it was fun.
Coming with your own questions.
It was fun.
I'm excited for that. Yeah, cool. When you sent those to me, I was excited for it. So, yeah, thanks again, Drew.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.